Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Today is Tuesday, November 26th. We're just shy of Thanksgiving 2024, and I'm glad you've tuned in for this episode of the Extra Point Podcast. My name is Todd. I'm one of the pastors at First Family, and looking forward to bringing you some DYKs about the minor prophet Zechariah. We did conclude our eight-week series in the Minor Prophets. There are 12 books in that collection. I think we looked at seven or eight. I'm not sure. We spent 2 weeks on a couple of them, but I think we covered seven or eight of the books in these 8 or 9 weeks, and it's been very delightful. In fact, one of the things that I mentioned on Sunday that I think has been really helpful is it really was a great lead-in to Advent. I don't know if I thought about that when we planned this a year or so ago, but looking back and experiencing it now, the Minor Prophets are full of the sense of anticipation and expectation, and many of the prophecies about Christ's birth are in some of the Minor Prophets. And so it really fed our appetites, our spiritual appetites, very well as we prepare now for Advent at First Family Church. So that's one of the hidden blessings we weren't expecting, but I'm sure thankful for it. And what I want to do in this episode is just provide some DYKs about the prophet and the book, both named Zechariah. We intentionally did not do this last Sunday. We normally spend some time talking about the book, mentioning some DYKs, giving some sense of structure and order and maybe themes. But instead, we just took those two chapters in the middle, what I referred to as like the dialogue chapters, and we looked at its theme and emphasis, the Q&A in there, and we felt like that was the best way to approach these 14 chapters. And so I want to, on this podcast, give you some of those things I normally give, maybe provide some background, some of the things about the book that you probably just wouldn't know without some further research. So let me provide that for you. The first one being, like I mentioned, there are 14 chapters. It's rather long. We didn't address all of those. That being said, it is the longest of the minor prophets. Now, it shares its length with the book of Hosea. Hosea also has 14 chapters. So by chapter count, not by word count, but by chapter count, both Hosea and Zechariah serve as the longest of the minor prophet books. The book also is the most quoted in the New Testament, which you may find surprising because you may have thought it was Psalms or perhaps some other of the Old Testament books, but actually Zechariah is the most attributed, we'll call it that, has the most attributions in the New Testament. I think it's 41 times the New Testament references something in Zechariah. The name Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. And so I think it's very intriguing how often the minor prophets, the one that we're looking at, the name means something pertaining to the theme of the book. And of course, the book does detail much about the day of the Lord, both the immediate one and, of course, the eventual one, which signifies to us that the Lord does remember his people. He also remembers his enemies in that sense. And there is an ultimate day coming in which God will rescue his people, his covenant people, and he'll bring retribution upon his enemies. And so every time the people in that day and time were to hear the name Zechariah, I'm sure they thought about how the Lord remembers, and they were hopefully, as God's covenant people, reminded to remain faithful because of God's faithfulness. Speaking of the name Zechariah actually is pretty common. There are about 24 Old Testament characters named Zechariah. I think there's about 30 if you take the whole Bible. Most notably, of course, not only is the prophet named Zechariah, but that's the name of John the Baptist's father. His name was Zechariah. So it's a fairly common name in that culture. Over 30 people in the Bible were named that. Additionally, Zechariah's genealogy, which is in the very beginning of the book, much like the one from the previous week was, Zephaniah, his genealogy is the second longest genealogy of a prophet. So in the last two books we've looked at, Zephaniah and Zechariah, which, by the way, are probably two of the more uncommon and, sad to say, unread books in the entire Bible, probably, you have the longest and second longest genealogies of prophets, both in these books. Zechariah being the second longest genealogy of a prophet. And then finally, I think it's interesting to think about where else he's mentioned in Scripture. And though there is some disagreement about this, it does appear that Zechariah the prophet was murdered. Now, he's mentioned in Matthew chapter 23, and this is why I suggest that perhaps this is the mention of his murder, because Jesus said in Matthew 23, and he's speaking here to Jewish leaders, he was predicting coming judgment, they were the unrighteous Jewish leaders, he says to them, quote, "And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar." That's Matthew 23. And so Jesus here is possibly referencing how Zechariah was killed. He may have been murdered. And it's possible, because we see him here mention Zechariah, and he's connected to Berechiah. That's the name also mentioned in the book of Zechariah. Now, the reason I say it's possible is because in the original text, the idea of the phrase son of Berechiah there in Matthew 23:35, it's not mentioned. And so some assume that a scribe may have inserted this to give an indication of which Zechariah is being talked about. And because there's some scribal discrepancy, some wonder if he's not talking about Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. He was murdered as well. That's in the Chronicles. Now, here's what makes this interesting. Could it be that Jesus here was selecting the first person to be murdered in the Old Testament and the last person to be murdered in the Old Testament? Because in the Hebrew arrangement of the Old Testament, Chronicles is the final book. And so if you take that order of Hebrew arrangement, you'll see the first person murdered is Abel, the last one murdered is Zechariah. And that would have probably been the one mentioned in the Chronicles, which isn't the prophet. However, I'm more inclined to think that the phrase here is the right phrase. He's Zechariah, son of Berechiah, meaning he's this prophet who was murdered. And so I tend to think he's speaking here of the prophet. And if that's the case, we know that he was martyred as a result of his ministry as a prophet. So some interesting things about Zechariah that I think are fun to just sometimes ponder and know about. It does open up insights into the book. And that's what I want to focus on next, just for the last few moments, is to give you what I think is one of the most beautiful elements of the book, and something we find within its structure that is just grand and glorious. And that is that there is a link between the sections, and they contain the overall themes of not only God's work throughout history, but the themes of the Bible. They contain meta-narrative elements. Let me explain to you what they are. As the book begins to unfold, it really deals with Israel's resettlement in the land. So we would call that the national theme. In other words, it's focused on Israel. The book obviously is post-exilic, so it deals with Zechariah's preaching and prophecy to get the people back to building the temple so God would be worshiped in the right way. That all happened after they were sent back from Babylon. This is a post-exilic book. So it focuses on their restoration, their time in the land, their revival there, and Zechariah's preaching to motivate them, to call them back to being about God's business. So it's a very national focus. And you find that in these middle chapters where God promises to bring them back, and he does exactly that. But as the story then unfolds, you find there to be a lot about Christ. In fact, one of the prophecies of Christ's triumphal entry is in Zechariah 9, in which it says, "You'll see your Savior riding on a donkey in this kind of triumphal manner into Jerusalem." And so suddenly it moves from a national theme to what I would call a Christological theme. And so there's a lot about Christ's first coming, not just in the birthing fashion, but his first coming in general, his first coming as the king on a foal, his first coming in crucifixion. And then as the book concludes, you really find much language that's apocalyptic, and it speaks of his universal reign. And it goes from national to Christological to universal, and all the nations are mentioned. You see the battle in Jerusalem unfolding, the Mount of Olives is splitting, and you see Christ winning this ultimate war at the day of the Lord. His reign is universal. It's over all the earth. It's a very interesting development and progression that really is the Bible's overall meta-narrative. That, yes, he came to the Jew first, yes, but then, of course, the Greek or the Gentile was next. And in the end, there'll be people from every nation, language, tribe, and tongue. So do you see the movement in Zechariah? I think it's just fabulous because it really represents, it echoes the theme of the entire Bible. National, Christological, universal. And it really reminds me of that beautiful verse in Romans 1:16, and with this I close, and may God use it to just massage your heart and give you great joy today as you think about the work of God over centuries and millennia. And he is moving history to a definitive point of worship from every nation, language, tribe, and tongue. And this verse describes it well when it says that Paul, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And even within that verse, we see national, Christological, universal. This is what the gospel has always been about. It's what it is about. It's what it will remain. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes globally. And that's why at First Family, we are so mission-minded, and we want to continue to be a people ready to reproduce all about the mission of God, making disciples who make disciples, because that message matters. The gospel is the power of God for everyone who believes. And yes, it began with the Jewish nation, through them to Gentiles, and one day there'll be people from every nation, language, tribe, and tongue around the throne of God, worshiping him forever.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.